worship, we worship. How great and mighty are you, God. We love you, we worship you, Lord. Father, we're so loving you and thanking you. Oh, you are our God. You are our King. We worship you. Father, we're so thankful for what you're going to do this weekend. We're so thankful for your plans and for your purposes. Oh, Father, we're going to run with you and articulate our heart by the Holy Ghost within us. And we worship you this night. We're so thankful that your presence is in this house. And Father, we are so thankful that we have ears to hear what you want to speak, what you have for us to hear. And we honor you in this house, in Jesus' name. And everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you can be seated if you want. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I tell you what.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I could just stay right here in his presence and sing all night. Hallelujah. I mean, because God is a good God, a faithful God. He's a true God. How many of you know he's ever true to his promises? Amen. He can be depended on. Amen. We can depend on him. He's the same yesterday, hello, today, and what?
Forever.
Look at your neighbor and say, God's forever. Hallelujah. How many of you believe he's a God that's a God forever? Amen. Well, guys, I tell you what an honor it is for my husband and I to come back and be with you guys in your beautiful new sanctuary and your beautiful church. I mean, you can just see the blessings of God all over the place, and it's exciting. I tell you what, it's exciting to see all that God is doing in the earth. Amen? You know, COVID hasn't scared God one ounce. It hasn't frightened him and made him think I'm going to have to wait a few more years before I manifest myself in the earth. No, he is manifesting himself in the church. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you know that the word says that by his stripes, what? We are, we were, we are, we is. Amen. I like the Passion Translation. How many of you have been reading that Passion Translation? I tell you what, it's become my new best friend. And just reading that translation has blessed my heart. But there's so, the way he words it, you know what? Let's just look at it. You know what? Let's just look. We got time. We got time, right? We got all night, Pastor said. All right, all night. She said all night, all night, all night. Okay. We got all night then. Let's look at it. 1 Peter 2:24 in the Passion. Make you want to shout, I'll tell you. Get ready, because you're going to want to shout. I'm going to get there, hopefully, within the next few seconds here. Verse 24, where are you? He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Now we can stop. We could do a Selah here, all right, if you know what that means. We can sit right there and look at that, and it says our instant healing flowed from his woundings. From his wounds, meaning the moment he took wounds on his body, you were already healed. Amen. You are already healed the moment he took a stripe on his back. The moment he did it. Have you found out that our God is an instant God? The word is right now. It's yes and amen. I don't have to wait for a big flow and move of the Spirit to operate in God's blessings, to operate in the word and have God manifest in my personal life. Ladies, we know what it's like, all right? Yes, I'm a minister of the gospel, and people will see me flow in the Spirit and operate in the gifts and do different things, and then they try to start putting you on a pedestal, and that's where it makes me aggravated, because I know what it's like to live Leanne's life. And I know that I have to work the word just like you do it. Amen. The only thing that might be a little different is because I've been in so many services and I've meditated so much on the word in different areas of the word that it's become my reality. My reality is no plague can come nigh my dwelling. My reality is that by his stripes right now I'm healed. My reality is that greater is he that is within me than he that's in the world. Amen. Is that your reality? You need to shout yes whether you think it is or not. You need to speak it out by faith that it is your reality. Glory to God. By his stripes I'm healed. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. It's in Christ that I live and move and have my being. Don't make me preach so hard now. Come on. Because greater is he. Guys, we live, we know, in a natural world. But this natural world is supposed to obey us. Right? We're going to talk about spiritual truths and then just see as the Holy Ghost leads us what we're going to do tonight. But there's a verse that you're going to go, seriously, you're going to go to Psalms 23? Yep. Go to Psalms 23 with me. Whoo, the Lord is good. Yes, he is. I tell you, this afternoon when we got to our room, I was praying. As I was praying, this verse just came out of my mouth in Psalms 23. And the more that I kept saying it, whoo, wowza. And it's a verse we know. What is it? Yeah, but that's not the one he said. For goodness, mercy. Well, all right. I'm going to read it from the Passion, but I'm going to go back to the King James. Because, you know, hey, guys, I grew up Pentecostal. If you ever preach from any other translation, you going to hell. That was my Pentecostal holiness church. You know, if you ever preached out of any translation that wasn't the King James Version, dear God, you going to hell in a handbasket. That's all I want to say. I'm glad I've been delivered. Woo-hoo! How many of you can say you've been delivered? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God we got a little more revelation now that we can minister, get in the Word and read different translations. But anyway, Psalms 23, look what it says in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's that word again, forever. Surely goodness and mercy. Guys, I was in my hotel room. Oh, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy. And it started just stirring in me. And then I read it from what translation? The Passion. And I want to read a little bit more of it. Let's go up to the whole chapter is good. I could read the whole chapter. The whole book. But here, let's look at this. Verse 5. You become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness, love, pursue me all the days of my life. Can I say that line one more time? For your goodness and love, pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. Guys, I don't know about you, but that blesses my heart. To know that goodness, mercy, love, it pursues me all the days of my life. How many of you know the Word should be your reality? Amen? The Word should be your reality. I'm going to say that again. The Word should be your reality. If you're going to flow and operate in the Spirit, then that means you're going to have to be in the Word as much as you are in the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit agree. I've been over a prayer there at Rhema for many years and being there 20 some odd years, being there just over the prayer department, I've made it a point to make sure we don't get off. Because people get off in prayer. They get off when spiritual things start flowing and things happen. And it's like, no, 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 we got to remember we have the Holy Spirit who is our leader, our teacher, and our guide. And we have the word of the living God that's living on the inside. So as we step out and launch out into the deep, we've got to make sure that we're meditating the word, and the word is our reality as much as the goosebump that we feel. Amen. All right? How many of you like goosebumps? I do. I love it when the presence of God comes in and I'm just like, whoa, God. Woo, woo, woo. Okay. How many of you love that? I mean, we've sensed his presence already so much in the service tonight. But guys, surely goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. Do we believe the Bible? The Bible says, surely, surely goodness and mercy. Some of you need to say it. You know that's right. Surely. Surely, goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. It follows me all the days of my life. Okay, I'm going to have to read something right here again. You become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. Now, guys, we're reading Old Testament here. You realize Psalms is Old Testament. What do you think's happened in the New? You know what happened in the New. Jesus came, paid the price in full. He declared in John 16, it's expedient for you that I go so the Holy Ghost can come. Well, the Holy Ghost is now in the earth. I always laugh and think it's funny when Jesse Duplantis tells the story of when he went to heaven. And he looked at, I think he was talking to the Lord, an angel or somebody, and he goes, where's the Holy Ghost? Where's the Holy Spirit at? And they turned and looked at him. He's in the earth. And he said he felt so stupid. Because the Holy Spirit is in the earth. Amen? And we've got to be careful to not put him so far away. Come. He's come. He's come. And where's he living? In us. And then John, hello, I can't be here and not preach John 14:17. John 14:17 says, Jesus is speaking, the Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him. Who's the Spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that we know him. Look at your neighbor and say, I know the Holy Ghost. We know the Spirit of truth, and he lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. So we've got to change our mentality. See, our mentality is always longing, oh, I felt so unholy this week. I felt like my prayers didn't get answered, and I felt so unholy. I'm going to get to some real fun stuff. Hang with me for a minute. But we start going down this path and down this road in our thinking, well, this is just horrible. I'm going to have to go to service, and the worship leader is going to have to pray down and worship down, bring down the Holy Ghost, and then I'll get goosebumps and feel him all over again, and then I'll try it again this following week. Did you know that's the most unscriptural thing in the world you could ever do? And it's something that the devil has enjoyed deceiving the body of Christ in. He wants you to think you're just you. Are you with me? You are not just you. You have the third person of the Godhead who was in the beginning. You weren't there in the beginning, were you? You at least don't remember any of it. But in the beginning, God said, let us create man in our image, which let us know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all there. They're three, yet one. And Jesus came, paid the price, and then the Holy Ghost came, and he hasn't left. He's still here. Did you know you can step over by faith in the Spirit? Boom. By faith. I'll never forget something that happened years and years ago. I was praying there in my office, sitting there at Rhema. So I'll sit down for a second. So I'm sitting there and I'm praying at my in my office about a few different things. And I tell you guys, I was having some hard times praying. I was praying in the spirit and I felt like my words were hitting up against a brick wall and coming back and slapping me in the face. Anybody ever pray like that before? Come on, tell the truth. You know? If you've prayed much, that's happened to you. And I'll never forget it. I'm sitting there, the prayer coordinator of this big ministry. And I'm sitting at my desk and I'm praying about certain things. And I feel like as I'm Shondaing, there ain't nothing happening. I feel like I could sing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a. And nothing. I might as well sing it. That's how I felt. See, if you go by feelings, you're going to really get messed up. So here I am sitting going, ugh. I just feel like I'm hitting up against a brick wall. Father, why aren't you helping me? Because see, the Holy Ghost is our helper. And when he hooks up with us, what happens? We go. When the Holy Ghost takes hold with you, you know it. You know it. See, being raised Pentecostal, you know, we called him the Holy Ghost all the time. You know, it's okay to call him the Holy Spirit, the Holy One. It's all right, the Spirit of Truth. But you're going to hear me say Holy Ghost all the time because that's just how I was raised. You know, that's how we heard it all the time. That's what we did all the time. We heard Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. It was awesome, awesome, awesome. So I know the Holy Ghost because Jesus said I know him. But guys, I'm sitting in this prayer time in my office and I feel like I don't know him at all because I feel like I'm not getting none of my prayers answered. God, why aren't you helping me pray this out? I'm here praying out your plans and purpose for the ministry and different things. I'm not even being selfish praying about me right now. And I'm just blah, 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 you know? And I felt like everything that I was praying in the spirit, just boom, brick wall, back in my face. And the Spirit of God said to me, why don't you act like you're on the other side of the wall? I go, huh? What? He said, why don't you act like you're on the other side of the wall? I said, well, I'm not on the other side. Are you with me, guys? I don't feel like I'm on the other side. Wrong word to use. But I'm not. He said, act like you're on the other side of the wall. And I thought, well, what would I do if I actually was on the other side of the wall? Well, I wouldn't be praying. Oh, I would be like, I'd be excited and my tongue would be excited and I would be excited and I would be on the other side. I'd be joyful. I'd be happy. So I thought, well, I'm in my office by myself. Who's going to know what I'm doing except God? And he loves me in spite of me. So if I'm hearing something stupid that's not him, it's all right. He loved me anyway. But I thought, you know what? I'm not liking the prayer time I'm having right now, so how about I just act like I'm already over there? And so I tell you what, I changed the way I prayed. I wasn't going, oh, bregizigili mambro goldo se geridi. Oh, Father, oh, brebari geridi be grebe se grede. I wasn't doing that anymore. I was acting like this now. I was acting like I was standing up. Oh, yeah. So bregadili vruske brahman sere de. Oh, brakishkuma ba bregese si. Oh, yeah, yeah. Le bre besi si la mando brosta. And a manji ge. Oh, yeah, yeah. No bo se ke le bejati. Oh, yeah, le bre de. Hallelujah. Oh, bregese. When I stepped over like that, I stepped over right into unction. Unction of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy One. I stepped right in and I did it by faith because I was going, oh, blah, 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 blah. But then I was like, mm-mm. And you know what it taught me? Leanne, when you're praying in the Spirit, you are in the presence of God. Amen. So don't you act like you're sleepy and tired. Don't you just give him a part of you, give him all of you. So when I pray in the Spirit, even though I don't know what I'm praying about sometimes, I, by faith, will act like I do. I remember after I prayed in my office like that, Man, I prayed. I got done in prayer so quick. It was crazy. I mean, just boom. I was like, whoa, I like this kind of prayer. I stepped over by faith. And boom, I'm done in no time. God can be long-winded sometimes, but he's not long-winded a lot of times. Well, that's my experience with him. Well, I jumped up out of my office chair, ran down the hallway to the guy that I was working with at the time, Jim Hockaday, and I said, you're not going to believe. You're not going to believe what I just did. He goes, what'd you do, Liam? I said, you know all that stuff that we've been praying about? I was sitting in my office praying about it. Man, I felt like my head was just hitting up against a brick wall, and it was wah, 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 wah. I said, but the Spirit of God said to me, why don't you act like you're on the other side? Why don't you act like you're on the other side? And then I told him, I said, Jim, I did. I acted like I was there. He goes, what'd you do? I said, I just, by faith, boom. Oh, brassigili manjagore. And I was just demonstrating to him what I did. And then I just began to shout and rejoice. And I said, Jim, I prayed through. He goes, you did what? I go, yeah. It was just like, boom. I stepped over. Boom. There I am in the presence of God. He goes, sit down in the chair and pray with me now. Because he had some things that he wanted to get prayed out, real, you know, that he'd been hitting his head up against a brick wall. And I mean, before you know it, just boom, we're there in the presence of God. I mean, it was amazing. I'll never forget another time. Now I'm laying down a little bit of a foundation for some things. There was another time that Jim told me on a Friday, because he and I worked together in healing school and prayer school, and he told me, he said, Leanne, he said, on Monday when you get in, I want you to come to the office first thing and we're going to pray. And I told him, I said, I go, okay, great. Yeah, we'll pray about those things. It'll be awesome. And so we were, you know, okay, yeah. Well, I went out and preached that weekend. He went out and preached that weekend. And then we come in on Monday. Well, how do you think you feel when you get in at 2 or 3 in the morning and you just preached all weekend? You don't want to pray with somebody. You want to keep your light out in your office. You want to drink, now I'm not a coffee drinker. Back then, I was bad. I would drink a Diet Coke instead. And I would sit there. I don't do that anymore. I wish I could. But anyway, God got after me. How many of you ever had God get after you about something? He told me, he said, no more. And so anyway, I was sitting there in my office going, Father, please don't remind Jim that we were going to pray. Just please don't do it. Don't do it, Lord. Don't do it. Well, then within seconds, our phone system at that time, he could push a button in his office and he would be able to talk right in my office. Thank God we got rid of that on our phones. But anyway, at this particular time, he could push a button whether I wanted to hear what he had to say or not. He was in my office by voice. And he said, Leanne? Yeah. He goes, come on, let's pray. I go, well, Jim, why don't we wait and pray after prayer school this afternoon? I'm trying to change his mind because I want to rest a little bit, get my mind woke up. And he's like, he goes, no, we said we'd pray. You get in here and pray, Leanne. You know, I said, all right, I'm on my way. I walk down the hallway. I open the door and I go, oh, dear God. I go, you look worse than I feel. Because he had dark circles all around his eyes. And he said, Leanne, no, we're going to pray. And I go, okay, fine. And I sat down in a chair right across from his desk. And as I'm sitting there, he starts praying. Well, you know what kind of prayer I was praying. Oh, Ramam Brigade, Devi Shega, Ramam Brigade. Don't you hate that when you're praying with somebody and they're yawning and they're, you know, you just want to go, don't you love God more than that? You wouldn't yawn like that in front of the president if he called you up or if somebody important, you know, but dear oh God, he sometimes gets the worst of us and it's sad. But so I'm sitting there. Oh, bangalo. And then all of a sudden, Jim starts saying, yeah, Lord, yeah, that's right, that's right. I opened my eyes and looked at him. And he did this to me. He peeked at me. And I looked at him and I just shook my head because I knew what he was doing. He was faking it till he made it. He was acting like he was hearing from the Lord by faith because his flesh was so tired he couldn't see straight. And so he's like, yes, Lord, I see it. Yes, ha, ha, ha. And his voice changed. And he's like, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, raggedy. And I'm sitting there going, well, if he's going, if he can do that, I can do it too. Oh, yes, Lord, I see it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Even though I was kind of making fun, but you know what? I stepped over. I stepped so far over that I started seeing and knowing things by the Spirit of God. He and I got finished praying within 15 minutes. And it was like, and not only that, while we were praying in the Spirit like that, guys, all of a sudden, when we come to the end of the prayer time, you know how sometimes a prayer time gradually slows down? Oh, yes, Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, brigadidi, brigadidi, manjade. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh. Am I right, ladies? But this particular time that he and I were praying, we were going, oh, brigade de vigra, bashkidana, no, sit still in vine. And I opened my eyes, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And because we were both praying from that type of intensity, and I go, I'm done. He goes, I am too. I go, what in the world? He goes, Leanne, we have got to up our game. I go, you know that is right. We got to start acting like we believe who we are. We've got to start acting like we are spirits made in the image and the likeness of God. John 4:24 says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, that means if he made me like him, I'm a spirit. Now, you guys are a well-taught church, but we can't forget that we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. You know, what did Brother Hagin used to say it? He goes, I live in a body, I possess a soul, and what? No, I have a, no, how do you say it? I am a spirit, I live in a body, and I possess a soul, or I have a soul. And we're a three-part being. Where did Brother Hagin get that from? Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul says it. Paul says, I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. He broke us down into a three-part being, letting us know, I'm a spirit, I live in a body, and I have a soul. What's my soul? My mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect. My spirit is the very spirit that God gave me. You take your spirit out of your body, guess what your body's going to be? A dead body. If you don't believe it, look in Acts 16 when they were stoning Stephen. He didn't look up to the heavens and say, Lord Jesus, receive my body. He didn't say, receive my mind, my soul, my intellect, my emotions. He said, receive my spirit. And the moment he said it, the Bible says, he went up. But his body fell to the ground. You know, we don't need to grieve like the world when somebody dies. Are you with me? There's no reason for us to grieve like the world. Because if you know that you're an eternal being, you're a spirit, that when you leave your body, you keep living. Your grandma's still living. Your spouse that went to heaven early, still living. Are you with me? Children that have died, they're still living. You've got to change your mentality. We either believe what the word says or we don't. But we're in a church that knows how to believe the Bible. Yeah. Glory to God. We're eternal beings and we're not ever going to die. Hallelujah. Not ever going to. You need to say it. I'm not ever going to die. You got to have some attitude with it. Because the devil is constantly trying to make you think that all you are is a body and a soul. He doesn't want you to get familiar with yourself being a spirit being made in the image and the likeness of God. Because when you're familiar with that, you'll speak and mountains move. Your words create. You're a speaking spirit. There's so many messages within everything that I'm talking about. Are you guys okay? But we are spirit beings. And guys, we should be operating with him from a place of faith. faith. When we pray, we shouldn't start off prayer like, oh, dear Lord, I hope you hear me when I pray. Don't you be praying that way. I'm going to come up and smack you side your head. You don't need to be praying unscriptural. Now, really, I'm not going to come smack you across the head, unless the Lord tells me to, of course, then I would. But, you know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, 14, 15, 16, all around in there, it talks about this is the confidence that we have in God, in Him, that if we ask anything according to His Word, He hears. So if I'm asking according to the Word, I don't have to go, oh God, oh God, oh God. I don't know about you, I don't like to be around whiny people. You might say, well, I think I could be one. You just need to get in the Word a little more. Okay, maybe a lot more. But you need to get in the Word and let the Word become your reality. Ha, ha, ha. For there are many in this room that knows that the Word is their reality. And you're walking in a supernatural way. And the Spirit of God is saying, even this night, there's more for you to see. And there's more that you will begin to say. For revelation comes when you speak the Word. And revelation comes when you step out by faith. So know that there is much more in God, much more in me that I have for you to operate in. But it's by your words and what you speak. How many of you believe that tonight? Hallelujah. Whew. I keep hearing this old Keith Moore song. The Word is working mightily in me. Or is it a David Ingalls? I don't know. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstance of what I feel or see, the Word is working mightily in me. Guys, if we'd start singing some songs like that when we're at home by ourselves, instead of singing the latest fad worship song that probably is unscriptural. Amen. That went over well, didn't it? Because what is coming out of you, what you're putting in your ear gate, what you are operating in this natural realm in, is what's going to cause you whether to excel spiritually or not. Now, one thing I love about this church, even as I came in tonight and Pastor Joni began to speak, it was like, oh, yeah, I remember her gift. Oh, I love that gift. I love the gift of God within you, Pastor Joni. How that she's inspirational and she makes you, you know. It's just like, I wouldn't want to be in a fight with her. Would you want to be in a fight with her? I think she'd win every time. What do you think? But she's got that gift within her that inspires us. And then she's a teacher preacher that just makes you want to go, oh, sweet Jesus. And it helps us grow. Guys, we have got to listen to men and women of God like her, because this is a faith church. I think it's in the name of the church, right? And this is actually a church that has faith in its name that actually operates in it. Because there are many churches that say faith, and that just means they're saved. But here, there's a greater revelation of what faith is all about. Did you know we're not supposed to be living in this earth like everybody else? We're supposed to be living a supernatural life. A supernatural life. Where the Word and the Spirit agree. They come together and they work powerfully together. But see, we can come to church and listen to Pastor Joni, but it's up to us what we do at home. What are you doing at home? What are you speaking? Or what are you not speaking? You guys know faith. They teach it and preach it all the time. But we know what we do when we're at home. I know what I do when I'm not in the pulpit. Yes. I'll sometimes get aggravated and think Jerry should do this and this and this. And then I'll look at his precious face and I'll be like, you're not his savior. You're not his God. He's got to follow God for himself. And have you ever thought, Leanne, that you could be off, that he shouldn't be doing that? Oh. Are you with me? Got to be careful not to be a nagging wife. Oh, let's not preach a message about that now. We can't nag. My husband's probably wanting to jump up and dance right now. Thank you for staying steady. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, I don't nag that much. Okay, maybe a little sometimes. But what I have in a wonderful husband is a lot of times he'll say, now what's the word say? What's the word say? And then sometimes I want to go, how dare you put the word back in my face? I know what the word says. And then you want to have another attitude. But thank God I've grown a lot. And if he puts the word back at me, I'll sit there and go, yep, yep, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Even when my flesh wants to go, you're right. You're right. You're right. Sounds like we fuss a little bit, and we really don't. But there's those times when your flesh gets tired. You've been out preaching a lot. We're pioneering the church. We've been blessed. It's not time to launch yet. We're having launch meetings, and God is blessing us tremendously. Have about 27 people that have come and have moved and want to be a part of it, and it's exciting, and we're excited about it. And then we'll go out and preach on the weekends and have family and have people over to the house that are coming to check out the area. And after a while, you just want to go, my flesh, my flesh, my flesh. But we have to keep ourselves in check. And as we keep ourselves in check, okay, Holy Ghost, he just said, tell him this. He said, you know what it's like when you're frustrated about stuff, and then all of a sudden something happens and you need to pray real quick? I bet you guys just step over right in faith. I bet you guys do, because that's how you've been taught. But you know what you do behind closed doors. Something's happened. Somebody's wronged your child. Somebody's done something. Something's going on. The gas bill's not being paid. The water bill. Something. Money was used in another place when it wasn't supposed to be used. And this was going on. Family issues. Work issues. Something happened really horrific within your family. And they've called in for everybody to pray or whatever, you know. And here you've been. Ugly. But somehow when an emergency come calling, you stepped over in faith quick. You got, in the name of Jesus. Am I right? When something cuckoo happens, Jesus. Because we church ladies, right? We know how to step over by faith. But what we need to do is learn how to stay there. We've got to learn to stay in that place of faith. And that is living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and not allowing your five senses to stop you from living in the Spirit. Your five senses, Jerry comes home, says something I don't like. I could have been all in the Spirit singing and worshiping the Lord, and he didn't like something I cook. Okay, that's not really true because I don't really cook. I need to think of something true to tell. But maybe he came home and he was a little quiet and I could tell something was wrong and he won't tell me what's going on. He's not communicating and that gets on my nerve. I want to communicate because I like to talk. Tell me what's going on. Let's break it down in 500 different ways. Let's talk about it. And many of our spouses like to process, go into the cave. I hate those caves. Is there anybody that hates the cave? I hate the caves. Because, dear God, I'm ready to get on top of that thing and deal with it in God, and let's talk about whatever you're dealing with. Blah, 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 blah. But he's not ready. Love you, honey. He's like, I'm so glad I sat in the front row. But, guys, I'm saying this because we can't allow anything in this life to hinder where we are. There are so many lies with the media, so many lies about COVID and how many people are sick with COVID and how many people were tested positive when they were not tested positive. There's so many lies, and your soul, if you got wrapped up into the media and wrapped up into what the world was saying, your soul would go waddle waddle, and before you know it, you're living down under the load of what the world is speaking. Now, guys, that's not who we are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And there is no doctor, even though doctors are a blessing from the Lord, no doctor is going to tell me something that is against what the word says, and I'm going to take it hook, line, and sinker. Are you with me? I recognize, yeah, there might be an issue. There might be something going on, but that's not my reality. Jesus. My reality is the B-I-B-L-E. The Bible. Anybody that went to Vacation Bible School knows that we used to sing that song, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Bible, we would shout. We've got to stand on what the word says. You know, as ministers of the gospel, I'm finding myself saying this, and I'm hearing others say this a lot now. If you're going to believe, if you're going to be what you should be in God in the church today, you've got to be a person of faith. And you've got to speak what the word says and live by the word. But guys, when you start speaking the word, living by the word, and start speaking scriptures that talk about, I know the spirit of truth. I know him. I have an unction, 1 John 2:20. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. Do you know all things because finally the Holy Ghost is going to arrive? No. I know all things because the Holy Ghost has arrived, and he lives in me, and I know him. I know him. Are you with me, guys? We know the Spirit of truth. We know him. You know him. Jesus said you know him. Is he a liar? I'm trying to get away from having to tell the story right now that I tell so often when I talk about John 14:17. Because I bet there's a lot of you that were not here when I spoke last time. How many of you have never heard me before? Huh. No wonder I got to tell the story again. It's a good one. All right. I'm going to sit over here because I think I can see you more. Is this better? I'm up higher. Guys, years ago when I was the worship leader in prayer school, I had been in the ministry, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years by that time. I'd been traveling and preaching and volunteering at Rhema in prayer school and healing school. I just led the praise and worship, and I sat down on the front row. And as I'm sitting down on the front row, Jim Hockaday was leading prayer school. He turned to John chapter 14, and he read the whole book. And while I'm sitting there, he got to verse 16 and 17. And verse 17, as I've already quoted, the spirit of truth the world doesn't see or know, but you know him because he's going to live and dwell on the inside of you. That's what the verse says. And as I'm sitting there, I go, I don't feel like I know you. How many of you know you need to have a relationship with God that you can just talk to him? And I told him, I said, I don't feel like I know you. If I know you so well, why don't I see the glory cloud when it comes in the room? Ha, 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 ha. Because see, when I was a Rhema student, Brother Hagin would teach in healing school. And guys, when he would teach in healing school, I can't tell you how many times as he would be teaching, he would say it. He'd go, well, the glory cloud's coming in the room. And I'd always sit in the second row because I volunteered. And he goes, now it's covering the sound guys in the back. And it covered the sound guys, and he goes, it's just thick like a cloud. Because in Exodus 33, it talks about the glory of God, looks like cloud, smoke, pillar. He said, it's like a cloud back there that's hanging over you. So what do you think I did? I turned around as a Rhema student. I didn't see nothing. What's he talking about? Then I looked back up at him. You know, I'm 18, 19 years old at this point. And he goes, now it's getting so thick I can't see half of you sitting back there. He goes, there's just a white cloud just all over the place, a fog, a smoke. He goes, I can't see anybody at all. Well, I'm looking all around at the crowd. There's probably about 350 of us in the room. And I'm like, what in the world's he talking about? I don't see the glory. And then he goes, well, the glory's now covered the platform, the podium and everything. And he put his hand in front of his face. And he said this. He said, I can't see my face. No, he can't see his face. How did he say it? I can't see my hand in front of my face. That's what he would say. He goes, I can't see my hands in front of my face. And I'm sitting there thinking, dear God, I can see your head, your face, and everything. And I'm just aggravated, all right? Well, now it's 8 years later, and I've graduated. I've been traveling, and I'm leading worship in prayer school. I'm sitting in the service. We're reading John 14, the Spirit of Truth, meaning the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't see him nor knows him, but you know him. Jesus is saying, I know the Holy Ghost. I don't feel like I know the Holy Ghost. If I know the Holy Ghost so well, why don't I see the glory cloud when it comes in the room? If I know you so well, why don't I know when the healing anointing is present? Because when the healing anointing is present, the pastor usually, oh, everybody lift your hands up and receive, or come down front, let's have hands laid on you. I said, why can't I know ahead of time? Why does he always have to know first? You guys are all perfect, right? Third thing I said to him, I said, if I know you so well, why have I made mistakes in life? I don't feel like I know you. Now here I am, a traveling itinerant minister. I had been a youth pastor. Come back. Now I'm serving at Rhema in prayer school and healing school, volunteering. Hallelujah. But I'm sitting on the front row having a conversation with God, and I'm telling him, I don't know you. He's telling me, I know him. I don't know you. I don't know the glory cloud. I don't know when the healing anointing is present. I've made mistakes. I don't know you. If I know you so well, why have I made so many mistakes? I don't know you. I don't know you. As I'm sitting there in the front row, I heard the Spirit of God say to me, you're calling me a liar. Now, what's funny is here I am listening to him, but I don't think I know it. You know how goofy we can be, guys? Holy Ghost be talking right up all in our business, telling us stuff. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he's telling us the whole time, but we're not recognizing that it's him. And so when he said, you're calling me a liar, I immediately didn't take too long to just jump right back in. No. I don't know. Why don't I know when the glory cloud is present? Why can't I see the glory, Brother Hagin? Blah, 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 blah. I went through the whole thing again with him. Then I said, why do I have to wait for some minister to say, oh, the healing anointing is present? Why can't I know ahead of time? Why have I made mistakes in my life? Do you see how we reason things out in our soul and our thinking? Well, after I said it the second time, guess what he said to me real loud? You're calling me a liar. Try to make this long story short. Eventually, after I went through it all over again, he said to me, Leanne, how did you get saved? Now I'm having a conversation in the front row. Nobody, if you looked at me, you wouldn't have thought I was doing anything but just listening to the minister. But I was having a whole conversation with God. And the whole time I'm saying, I don't feel like, no, yeah, I don't know, he's telling me, you're calling me a liar. And now he says to me, he goes, Leanne, how did you get saved? I thought he was making fun of me because he was there. And I said to him, what? How did I get saved? Then all of a sudden, the light bulb turned on. Well, I knew how I got saved. I believed John 3:16 like you. But I confessed John 3:16 like you, or confessed Jesus as the Lord of my life. I've received him. I confessed him, for God so loved the world, you know. I confessed the word. So here I am, a Rhema grad. Faith and power. That's me. I'm a minister of the gospel. Finally got the revelation. Confess the word and it will work for you. Duh. Our church at Rhema has a faith shield that revolves around the top of the church. And every time we go to church, we see that faith shield revolving. And you would think that would be a reminder, I've got faith. But it became just a symbol. Oh, that's another message within itself. But guys, I'll never forget it. I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home after the service. I've got to talk. I've got to get my words out there. I got to confess the word. So I got home, walked into my bedroom, shut the door behind me, put my books down on the chest there, and I stood there looking out the window. And I said, Holy Ghost, guess what I found out today? I found out that I know you. I would love to say a dove flew by the window, the blind shook, or something took place in the natural, but nothing happened in the natural. So it's either I believe what I'm saying from the word, or I go that I don't have a feeling. And so I just stood there. I'm so glad that I know you. You're more real to me than anybody else in life. You're more real to me than my family, my friends. You live on the inside of me. I know you. Guys, I started confessing that. Nothing happened in the natural that day. That night, went to bed and was getting ready to go to sleep. And all of a sudden, I remember, oh, Holy Ghost, you're more real to me than the bed that I'm sleeping in. You're more real to me. Because, see, I was getting it out of my mouth, making the word be my reality. I'm speaking, you are more real to me than anything else in life. You're real to me. And as I'm speaking it, Did something happen? Not that I could tell. The next day came. I told the prayer school band. I said, we're praying different today. You just stick with me, about 15 of them in the team. And I said, Father God, and I don't know how all I worded it, but I said, Father God, we're so thankful that we have the Holy Ghost. And your word says that we know the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad we know you. And they opened, I opened my eyes to look at the team. And some of them were going, because they hadn't heard me pray like that before. Well, I hadn't prayed like that before. I wasn't using my faith in prayer like that I knew him. Guys, in our walk, in our spiritual walk in him, we've got to live from a place of faith. Faith. You say, this is a spirit conference. Stick with me. Stick with me. So, that for 2 weeks, I went around praying different, talking different. I didn't say it in front of a lot of people. I did it personally and privately. Because it's me and God. It's my relationship with him and me walking in the revelation of what the word is saying. I know the Holy Spirit. And so I just started confessing it. And guess what started happening? When I go in to lead the worship, we would hit the anointing right in the first song. We didn't just have to get a song excited for everybody to get involved. We hit the anointing immediately like you guys do here in this church. But I'll never forget it. 2 weeks goes by. I led the praise and worship. I'm sitting back down in my seat again. And Jim's back up speaking. And then as he's speaking, I'm his assistant. All the ushers know if something's going on in the room and Jim doesn't address it, look to me and I'll tell you. And if I didn't know what the answer was, I'd make it up, you know. And so I'm sitting over here in my seat. And as Jim's speaking, we have a door over here in the corner. And I saw smoke coming through the cracks of the door. I immediately thought, my God, what's on fire in the hallway? I immediately thought, do I need to interrupt this service? Do I need to run up and tell Jim, look? Or do I need to run out that door and just go look and see what it is and evaluate the situation and come back in? What do I need to do? Oh, my gosh. And you know, ladies, how many thoughts we can have at one time? So all these thoughts are going on in my mind. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And then I'm looking over at the usher that's sitting over there on that far seat. Why isn't he looking at me? Why isn't he looking at me? Because I would tell him, go check it out. Go check it out. And I kept staring at him thinking, is he goofy or what? And I'm sitting over here going, oh, what should I do? What should I do? And then all of a sudden I got spiritual. And the reason why I got spiritual is because I looked over at that usher. And that usher, see, that smoke had gotten so thick that it was covering where he was sitting. And he was just sitting just looking straight at through it, right at the speaker. And I'm thinking, dear God, it's the glory. I finally got spiritual. I sat there in that seat and I just watched it. And it came in and it covered that whole section. Then it came in and it covered all of this section. And then it covered the podium where the minister was standing. And he goes, well, the glory just came in the room. And I'm sitting over here thinking, ha! I saw it before you did. I was so excited. I saw the glory. I saw it. About that time, Jim Hockaday, he said, if you need anything from God, lift your hands up and receive. Ha, ha, ha. If you need healing, whatever you need, if you need an answer, whatever you need, it's right here. Take it. Receive it. It's yours. We had people healed, people getting answers and things happening. And I was sitting there. I wasn't receiving nothing but just looking. Because I couldn't believe it. I was seeing it. I'm so not in faith to a certain degree. But see, I'd been speaking it in faith and God was blessing me. He was teaching me through it. But see, something changed that day. Some would say, oh, your life changed? I go, yeah, my whole life in ministry changed that day in prayer school. You might say, oh, because you saw the glory? Absolutely not. No, my life changed because I really got the revelation that when I speak the word, it will manifest in my life. When I confess what the word says and stay after it in faith, it will be manifested in my life. The Bible also says to seek ye first what? The kingdom. You're not supposed to seek after the glory. You're not supposed to seek after certain manifestations. You seek after Him. And when you seek after Him, all of Him, it just happens. Are you with me, guys? Where the supernatural becomes natural to you. See, we've made the things of God way too difficult when the things of the Spirit are easy. The things of the Spirit are easy. Brother Hagin had a prophecy and he talked about two worlds. He talked about the unseen realm and the natural realm, the spirit, the supernatural and the natural. And God wants us to learn the operation. What is that, Father? Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. See, I'll never forget it. Years ago, when I became the prayer coordinator there on campus, he reminded me of a short story I'm going to tell you real quick. I probably shared it last time, but I'll never forget it. I didn't want to make any mistakes in the prayer program because, see, we had 500 people that prayed in the prayer program. And we were covering all kinds of things for the ministry and prayer. And I just kept getting stirred. Make changes, and this is what they are. And he told me, da 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 da. And then so I called all the prayer leaders in, and I said, guys, I want you to help me pray. It was a Wednesday night before church, an hour before service. Help me pray, because I don't want to make any mistakes in the prayer program. And just help me pray to make sure I'm doing what's right. And so we all started praying. I'm up at the podium by myself. Everybody else is in the auditorium with their heads bowed praying. I prayed a prayer in English, then I went into praying in the Spirit. Everybody else started praying in the Spirit. As we were praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden I felt a breeze go by my left side. Well, I opened my eyes to see who come up here to help me pray. You know, who came up around the podium with me. And I did a 180, looked all around, looked up to see if there was a vent. There was nothing. I thought, but I just get it and closed my eyes and just kept on going. And then all of a sudden I felt a breeze on my right side. And immediately I thought, I'm going to catch this person in the act. Somebody's playing with me. So I opened my eyes real fast and I looked out at everybody. There was about 50. I can't remember if it was 50 or 70 at that time. And I remember looking out at them and there was no head, nobody looking up. Everybody's head's bound. You get in a room with people that love to pray and know how to pray, please. I mean, it's amazing. And they're praying like a house of fire. None of them were looking at me. So again, I'm looking up. I'm still praying in the Spirit because I want them to know I'm still praying. But my eyes are open. I'm looking around going, what was the breeze all about, you know? And so I closed my eyes again. And then all of a sudden, whoever it was that walked around me has now enveloped the podium where I'm standing. I was like, my God, is it an angel? Is it the Lord? Who is this? Who just came in here? Because whoever it was I knew was standing, they were standing right in front of the podium. So immediately, I didn't get any answers, so immediately I just stopped praying. I go, everybody, wait a minute. Have you ever tried to stop 70 people from praying when they're prayers? I wasn't mic'd. Everybody, wait a minute. I had to shout it, I know, at least three more times. And they finally all stopped and they just looked up at me like, why'd you stop us so fast? We're just going, we just started. You could tell it by their facial expression. You know, how many of you can say you can read some faces sometimes real easy? And so anyway, I told him, I said, guys, something's happened. I told him about the breeze on the left, the breeze on the right, and now somebody's in front of the podium. And I don't know who it is. Do any of you have anything? Have you, any of you picked up on anything or perceive anything? And they all just looked at me and someone was like, no. And I go, well, I don't know who it is. Let's just keep praying and we'll see if they'll speak. I bowed my head. Oh, bro, siki chikanda brandy. And all of a sudden, he began to speak. I recognized his voice. I knew his voice well. It was Jesus. And he began to talk to me. And he said to me, he goes, my stamp of approval is upon the prayer program here at Rhema. And then he paused. And I thought, why is he pausing? Well, he wanted me to tell them. I go, guys, wait a minute. It's Jesus and he's speaking to me. I couldn't see him, but I knew he was there, and boy, could I feel him, and boy, did it feel good. It's Jesus, and he just said his stamp of approval is upon the prayer program. And right after I said that statement, Jesus spoke again. And then I told them what he said. Spoke again, I told. I don't know how many times we went back and forth like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, all those men and women that were prayer leaders started praying, and I didn't say, let's pray. I didn't say, let me lead us in prayer. I didn't say, okay, guys, we got to pray. No, I didn't say nothing to him. All of a sudden, no breath, she got up, blah, 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 blah. I mean, the whole place was praying in the spirit. A spirit of prayer had fallen in the service. And I, as a prayer, got so caught up praying with them that I even walked away from the podium and was standing over in front of this section, and I was praying with them. Oh, and the anointing was just there. Woo, that prayer unction was there. And it was awesome. And then all of a sudden, as I'm praying with them, I got ticked off. Are you kidding me, Leanne? Jesus was standing at the podium, and you walked over there to pray with them? And I was like, ugh. And so I walked back over to the podium, and it didn't matter. The ladies and the guys that were praying, they were all up in prayer. I mean, they were just, whoo, Sean dying. I walked over to the podium, and I just stood there with my arms folded, ticked off. Because I didn't have goosebumps anymore. I couldn't sense the presence of Jesus at the podium anymore. And I was like, oh, I can't believe that I walked over there and started praying with them. Ugh. Didn't matter what I was doing. None of them were paying any attention to me. They were praying and they were... I'm going, I can't believe that I left the podium and Jesus, you were here. Ugh. And about that time, the back door on the side opened up. And I thought, well, somebody must have left and went to the bathroom. I wonder who it is. And all of a sudden, I swallowed deep because it was Jesus in a white robe. And he walked in, came down the middle aisle where I was, and he was smiling at me. When he got to the podium, he looked, I mean, he was just like right here, this close. And he turned his head kind of to the side and looked at me and he said, Leanne. The same manner in which I came into this room tonight is the same manner in which I live in you always. And just like that, he was gone. But he wasn't. I got revelation. He said, the same manner in which I came in this room tonight where I had goosebumps and I felt him and woo. He goes, that's the same manner in which I live in you always. In other words, he was going, ding, 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 ding. I'm still in you. I'm still with you. Guys, Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, three individuals, but yet one. The Word says that the Spirit of God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's with you always. Are you with me? He's not ever going to leave you. Doesn't matter when you're aggravated at someone, aggravated at what's happening in the earth. The power supply that's on the inside of you is bigger than COVID. The power supply that's on the inside of you is bigger than the doubt and unbelief that is in your soul. The God that lives on the inside of you is real. And he desires to manifest himself not just within the church, but within your personal life. We here as the church, as ministry gifts, we get up and we minister. But we get up to minister not so that you're just happy and shouting and seeing things while you're in church, but so that you take it and you carry it to the world that you live in. So that you live out of this place in Christ where you know who you are in him, where the Word says that in Christ you live and move and you have your being. Guys, the moment you bow your head, if you go, Father, I thank you that I see, I hear, and know, and you step over by faith, guess what's going to happen? You're going to see, hear, and know. But you might say, but I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I tried that and it just doesn't happen. Just keep doing it. Keep saying it. Because your words create the world that you live in. You are a spirit being. You have a legal right to operate in the realm of the spirit. But you want to make sure that you are in the spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within you. You want to make sure you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be in fear. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. If you're in the Word and if you're confessing the Word and if you are speaking the Word, guess what's happening? The Word is becoming the boundaries of your life. And as you speak it, you're not going to go outside the Word. We make God way too hard. It is easy to live in the Spirit. You know, God wants you to see some things. He wants you to know some things. spiritually. He wants you to operate in the unseen realm. He wants you to play, or not play, well, play, but because we can get drunk and be full and be flowing in the spirit, that we can play in the spirit. But he also wants you to do kingdom work in the spirit. Are you with me? Now, Father, there's many directions we can go tonight, and I know you're getting tired. But for see, it's imperative that you and I walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and fulfill what he's called you to do and what he's ordained you to do for this day. There is much for you to operate in, and you don't have to be flaky or weird or strange. Guys, it's time for us as women to be secure in who we are. Are you with me? When we're secure in who we are, we don't care if sister so-and-so's got a prettier outfit on or a designer bag or a bigger ring on or a better car. Or, you know, you're not insecure. You're happy they got it. You don't care. You just don't care. You're secure in yourself in God. I don't care. Can we be so secure in Christ that we can live out of his abundance all the time? Oh, yeah. Believers, believers, believers. Believers are believers that stand strong. Believers that operate in the Spirit and recognize that it's not going to be too much longer. How many of you have been sensing and knowing? I know the other day I just said, come, Lord Jesus, come. How many of you have been saying that some? You know, come, Lord Jesus, come. You might have just got your new sanctuary, but come on, come on, Lord Jesus, come. I don't think Pastor Joni would mind if we go up on Monday, all right? Ain't no telling what their church gonna look on the other side. But guys, seriously, the realm of the Spirit is a real place, and God is Sigini, I can't get away from it, so he's your ganambo. Sidi brivisi gada bunchta. For you see, I've called you to live in this natural realm. That's what's caused you to live in this place. But I've also called you to live by my Spirit. For that realm is more real than this natural realm that you live in this day. That realm of the Spirit is for you to operate and have understanding in and to flow with me. And it's not just for those that are in the pulpit, but it's for everyone that would dare to spend time on their knees. When you spend time on your knees and you pray from a place of faith, you'll find that direction and understanding and wisdom comes, and your mind will go, my, oh my, look at this amazing grace. But I've got so much planned, I've got so much set up for you to do, but it's up to you to step over and to operate in this function and function in this particular room. See, the things of the Spirit, guys, they're real. Are you guys with me? Fully supplied of the Spirit. Running the race. Oh, yes, it's time. It's time to go steady, go fast, go into the deeper flows in me. Will you enter in? Will you step over in? Will you have eyes that see? And then I heard the Spirit of God just say to me, you know, you shared about praying in faith, stepping over in faith. When you felt like, I'm just not getting far. But then you step over like the brick wall. And I said, I changed my tongue and I acted like I was there. Guys, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. I've been in service. We were preaching in a church in Miami, Florida, and we were sharing the story about the glory of God. And as I was sharing the story, I just shouted, I said, if you want to receive from God, just come on. And about that time, I saw the glory filled the whole church. The glory was all over the place, everywhere. Called, said, come on down if you want to see, you know. The whole church of 2,000 people came down to the front, and we laid hands on 2,000 people that night. The glory of God, the pastor's wife finally just couldn't handle it. She had to come up and do it with us. She's like, "Whoa!" After the service, she grabbed me, you know, back in the speaker's room, put her hands on my shoulder. She goes, "We've had all kinds of ministers come to the place. I've never sensed the anointing like that." And I was standing there. I was sweating like a pig. You know, I got a few more pounds on me. I'm sweating like a pig because, man, I laid hands on 2,000 people with my husband. And, boy, the glory and the power of God was on us so strong. At points, we were running with the anointing. And people were just like, boom, 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 boom. And that pastor's wife's little lady, boom, she's just running with us because, I mean, she just, whoo, she's like, "Wow, God, I've never sensed it like that." And I'm sure there were many ministers that had come through that the glory of God had been manifested just as strong, but she probably didn't jump up and get in the stream of it. She jumped up and got right in the stream of what was going on the whole time, so she got zapped, 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 diddy zapped. But I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you, the glory's real. The spirit realm is real. The realm of the spirit's real. Years ago, I remember I was praying. How long can I go? Okay. All right. Let me tell this story. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Should I wait to tell it? Hey, to my segunda branda. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. You know, sitting right there in your chair, the glory of God can just be right there on top of you, and you won't even recognize it unless you go, do we have to have hands laid on us for the glory to be manifested? No. Oh my, there's miracles in this room right now. There's healings in this room right now. Deliverances are in this room right now. There's a special anointing right now. Special anointing. If you need something from God, lift your hands up right now. Look to Him. Ha 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 ha. Whatever it is right now, whatever it is, just receive it. Just receive it. Say, "I take it now. I take my deliverance. I take my healing. I take whatever," and then say, "Whatever it is, I take it now. I take it now. I've got victory." Ha, 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 ha. Some of you need to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, I'm not bound. I'm not bound. I'm not bound. I've got it. I've got it. It's mine. It's mine. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! The glory. The glory is in the house. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Now, you received something just then. What'd you receive? What you needed? Now your head's going to say, "No, you didn't. We didn't have a line and we all fell out." Well, that's a lie. It's fun when we all fall out. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, you know? Now he keeps telling, he goes, "Now I want you to tell that story. Now I think I'll be done after this story." But it seems like I shared more than I flowed more. I mean, it's pretty evident I flowed. But animal sikidi demangu brigadiri frenjikinde. See, that realm needs to be real to you. The realm of glory. The realm of God. There was a time I had a friend. In my life. This particular time, a friend of mine and myself, God dealt with us to pray. And we would go back on campus. We got approval to go back on campus and pray late at night. And while we were in there praying, we were praying for this particular ministry, this couple that would travel the world. And so we were praying for them because God had placed them in our hearts. And we're praying there. She's playing the piano. She was a musician. And I'm sitting there, you know, sometimes just standing on the other side of the piano praying. And as we're praying, all of a sudden I saw in the spirit this big door. It was a big door. And I thought, "What's that door about?" And I was praying and I saw it up high in the heavens. I saw this huge door. And it was a wood-looking door. It was kind of ornate looking. But it was so gigantic, it was bigger than the whole building we were in. And I thought, "What in the world is this door all about? What is this about, you know?" And kept praying, and so immediately as a prayer, what do us as prayers do when we know that there's a door that's not open? We pray for that door to be open. So we just commanded the door to open, but the door wouldn't move. And I was like, "What is this all about?" And then all of a sudden, I saw angels all around the door. Not around the door. I was only seeing the front of the door. But I saw all these angels, and I'm thinking, what is this about? So I went, and at that particular time, I wasn't the prayer coordinator. I went to the prayer coordinator of the ministry, and I shared with her what I was seeing. I said, me and Deborah are praying, and as we're praying, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this antique-looking, wood-ornate-type-looking door. And I said, I don't know what's on the other side of it. We seem to not be able to get it open, but I saw a lot of angels. And she said, well, you know what? When are you guys praying again? I go, well, we're praying this next time. And she goes, I'll come in, and I'll pray with you guys. So she came in on campus and late at night. Us three are in the room praying. Deborah's playing the piano. We're praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden, there's the door again. And I told Kathy, I go, Kathy, there's the door. There's the door. I'm seeing the door. See, I'm seeing into the realm of the spirit. I go, there's the door. And she said, there's a nation on the other side of that door. Well, when she said that, a spirit of knowing came on me. And I knew that it was, Asia, the Orient. I just knew it. And I shouted it out. And so I thought, surely we're going to get this door open because we're praying for these ministers that travel the world. They need to go there, get that door open so that doors of utterance can be made open unto them. And so I'm praying, oh, bro, we can't get that door open. That door's just shut. I'm like, why are you showing to us if we can't help them? Here, see all these angels, they're wanting to go in. And I knew they wanted to go in. And I'm like, why can't we get this door open? Well, then Kathy said to me, she goes, you know, so-and-so's coming in town for Winter Bible Seminar. And she said, why don't we all just get together and pray? She's been stepping over and seeing some things in the spirit. Maybe she can have a piece to the puzzle in this. So you know what? This lady shows up. She was a missionary to the Czech Republic at the time. She came in and she started praying with us. And I had decided I'm not telling this lady nothing. I'm not going to tell her what I've been seeing. I'm not going to tell her nothing. We'll just see if she see it. And if she see it, then we be do something with it. If she don't see it, then we just going to have to keep praying. Because I don't like flaky. I didn't want to get weird. You know, you tell somebody something, they immediately begin to picture it, right? And I didn't want to put a picture in her head. I wanted her to get that picture by the Holy Ghost. And so here we are standing around the piano while Deborah's praying. And I think actually I was sitting on the organ stool and this lady was on the other side of the organ. Deborah's playing the piano and Kathy was standing over there. So that's how we were standing. And as we're praying, my head's bowed and I'm not saying anything except praying for that couple who's their minute. Oh, bro, shigadina, mangre, days a day. And all of a sudden that lady that had come in to pray, she goes, whoa. And I opened my eyes and I looked at her. She goes, that is a big door. I go, you see a door? She goes, yes. I go, what's it look like? She said, it's a wood door. It's got a lot of engravings on it, and it is gigantic. I go, yeah. She goes, what's on the other side? I go, Asia. She said, but I also see a lot of angels. I go, I know. And she goes, some of them are carrying things. I go, I know. And she goes, well, let's get the door open. And so all four of us begin to speak to the door to open. Now, we're praying. We're in the unseen realm. I mean, we're sitting in the natural at there on campus in Tulsa. But we're praying, and we are in the spirit, and we're seeing this huge door, praying for this ministry couple, and there's angels all down in front of the door, standing in front of the door. And I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of them. It was huge. And then all of a sudden, we all begin to pray. Open! We command you, the door, open in the name of Jesus for these ministers to bring the glorious gospel into that place so they can fulfill the will of God. And then as we begin to pray like that, all four of us joined together in unity, guess what happened? The door, it opened. And then we started saying, angels, go! Angels, go! Angels, go! And as we were speaking, angels, go, they were vroom, 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 flying like crazy. And I was seeing all of this in the spirit. Vroom, 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 fly, fly, fly. They were flying in. And some of them were carrying things. And I knew in my heart that it was equipment for the ministry, for those that were going. Just had a spirit of knowing about it. It was wonderful. Man, we prayed through, got the victory, we shouted, we danced, we got it, we got it, we got it. Hallelujah. And then we left. Then one of my buddies, he's a prophet of the Lord. He traveled all the time, and he traveled with this couple that we were praying for. And he called me. He goes, "Leanne, where are you?" I said, "I'm on the road driving home." He goes, "Pull over." I go, "Greg, come on." He goes, "Leanne, what I have to tell you, you need to pull over." I go, "Okay, fine. I'm going to pull over." Because I had shared with him the time of prayer that we had had for this couple that he serves. So now I'm sitting on the side of the road in my little Ford Escort that I drove at that time. And there I sat, and he said, "Leanne," he said, "I just came out of a meeting last night where the couple that you were praying for, they weren't speaking, but they were sitting on the front row, and I was there with them. But another minister was up front, and he began to speak by the Spirit, and he stepped off the platform. He went and stood in front of that couple, and he said to them, 'A great door has been made open to you in the Orient.'" And then Greg said, "Are you okay? Are you hearing me?" I go, "Oh my gosh, Greg." Because I was learning how to pray more effectively. And I'm learning at that time, I was praying correctly. And then the minister, my friend, he went on to say, the man last night said, "There is a work to be done there by your ministry. And there is a team that's already there working before you get there." And then the minister said, "Now I know you have a natural team that travels with you, but I'm talking about a supernatural team of angels. They are equipped. Some of them are carrying things. They're equipped and they're waiting for you to come." Well, you could have imagined. Thank God he told me to pull over, because I'm, "Oh God, I'm praying right. I am not losing it. Oh God, you know." Because a lot of times, you know, for me, when I began to step over and see a lot in the Spirit, I was always afraid that I was going to get weird or I was going to get flaky. But I found that the more that I was in the Word, the more solid I became. There are so many. Father, what all do you want me to see the Brahman Stegeri Bronsete? For you see, there's a lot to be taught concerning the realm of the unseen. Because the realm of the unseen is as real as this natural realm. And it's actually more real because it's from that realm this realm was created. And the realm of the unseen is not just for a certain ministry gifts, but it's for the body of Christ. Now, don't go home and go, "Ooh, are there angels all around? Oh God, I'm scared. Don't show me nothing." We've all been there, or at least I know I have. You know, you step over in the Spirit and you're beginning to see and know things and flow, and you're just like, "Okay, when I got people with me, I'm okay. But hey, if I ain't got people with me, don't you show up in my room. Don't let me have no angels show up in here, okay? You know, I'm going to be sleeping with the dogs. I'm going to go somewhere. I don't know. I'm just not ready yet, you know." You know, God's not going to push you over into something that he's not prepared you for. You know, now your soul will try to go nutso with you, but you just bring that in, because that's also a tactic of the enemy to keep you from going further in God. There's so much in God to take hold of. Ha, 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 ha. Does God want to manifest himself in the earth today? Oh, yes, he is. He's manifesting himself more than we even recognize, because some are too sleepy and aren't keeping their eyes open to take hold of what he's doing in the day. See, some of us might be thinking, "Dear God, what's taking place in the world? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Guys, the harvest hasn't been reaped yet. There's a great harvest that has to be reaped before he comes, and that harvest is being reaped in many places, but there's more. I told God not long ago, I said, "How many more people do you want?" You guys probably would never think that, you know, but I have asked him, I mean, really, seriously? How long ago did you die for our sin? How many years and how many people have died and have went to heaven? Why do you want so many more? But he loves people. And he has an agenda. For the unseen realm is not just a realm where we just get what we need. The unseen realm is where we pray out his plan for the age. That's where we pray out his plan. See, do you think this building is this size? I don't know how many services you have, you know, before COVID and all that crazy that tried to take place and all that. But why do you think God gave you such a great building? For it to be full. And then for his glory to be seen, to be operated in. Is that realm real? Yes. But we as believers can stop what he wants to do in a service. We can stop what he wants to do in our lives. Because we're living from a shallow place, speaking stuff that's unscriptural. I don't know, God. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I know there's a time when we're young and we can get away with saying some things. But if you've been in church for a while now and you're still saying, I don't know, God. I don't know, God. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Then guess what? You're missing it. You've got to begin to speak in faith. The unseen realm is a real realm. The word is real. The only living book that you have is the B-I-B-L-E. It breathes. It breathes. And when you speak it, it manifests in our lives. That book breathes. How many of you have got all kinds of books? You got all kinds of books. But there's one book that flat out breathes. And if you dare to speak it, he said in John 6:63, my word is spirit and my word is life. God wants to show up in your life. Well, I'm not anybody. Are you kidding? I was the shyest kid on the block. If anybody ever thought, oh, I'm just, you know, oh, well. But the day came when I said, yes, Lord, yes. From the bottom of my heart. What's the rest of it? From the depth of my soul. What is that song? I say yes, Lord. Sandra Crouch song. I'm forgetting it right now. But yes, Lord. When I started saying yes, yes, as a kid in high school, speech class would come up. Whatever you want to speak on, I'd get up and I'd always have to speak on Jesus. Are you with me? The call was just there. It was and the more I kept saying yes, I knew I had to go to a Bible college and we didn't know if it was an occult or if it was God, but I knew I had to go. I remember when my dad and my little sister took me and dropped me off and helped me with all my stuff. And my dad said, honey, I don't care how much money we've spent. I don't care what we've done to get you here. If it's an occult, we don't care. We'll come back and get you. I was like, okay, Dad. And we were serious because we didn't know who Kenneth E. Hagin was. Rhema? Really? You mean Rhema? We didn't know what that place was. But God. God has destiny upon every single one of you in this room today. And he wants you to operate in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and operate with him in all ways. For the flow of the Spirit is not just for one, two, or three, but it's for all of us to operate in him and then give glory unto him because he causes us to have eyes that see. God wants us to operate in seeing and knowing, a spirit of seeing. Brother Hagin used to talk about it. He would talk about it all the time. He said, a spirit of seeing and knowing in the body of Christ. You know, a spirit of seeing and knowing. He would talk about Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul would pray for the church of Ephesus, and he'd pray that the eyes of their understanding would be flooded with light, and he would pray for them that they would have a spirit of seeing and knowing him and the intimate knowledge of Christ, that they would know him and see him. And guys, right now we're living in the hour that it's time for us to see and it's time for us to know. It's time, and we're in it, but you've got to step over into it. Now I can tell I'm able to teach or minister here from a place that I don't have to lay a lot of foundation, which is wonderful because of the foundation that your pastors have laid. And hopefully they won't have to clean up anything when I leave, you know, but if they do, they do. Glory to God. But at the same time, I'm able to share some things and just get you stirred up.
Amen.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
How many of you are more hungry than what you were when you came in spiritually? Because see, your heart longs for the deeper depth in God.
Amen.
Are you with me? Guys, just the other day I was praying in a prayer group. And as I was praying, I will not lie. I'm praying, and it's a big prayer group. I'm the leader, but I'm sitting there, but I've got other people that are praying with me that are strong leaders in prayer. And as we were praying, all of a sudden, I knew that we were in heaven. And while we were in heaven, all I could see was clouds, but all of a sudden, I saw this horse. Well, let me break it down. I saw these archways, and they were doorways, and they were huge. And there were horses in each doorway, is how I could describe it. Didn't look like a stall. It was just an archway, and there were many of them. And there was horses. And these horses were not just regular horses. These horses, I mean, it was like you could see fume coming out of their nose, their nostrils. They were so muscle-bound that their muscles, and they were, you know, when you see a horse that's getting ready and they're, what is that called? I don't even know. Huh? Charge. Mm-hmm. Getting ready to charge. And I mean, guys, they were so big and muscly looking, I thought, my God, what is going on? What is happening? What is happening? Why am I seeing this? And the Spirit of God began to deal with me, and he said, things are coming to an end. There are sometimes some things that when you're praying, you'll get over even into the second coming. You'll get out so far that you'll be praying out things that your mind goes, what in the world? But you just keep praying and allow God to pray through you. But God's not flaky. God's not weird. He's not going to lead you astray. There's going to be word there for you. You know, the word tells us that the Holy Spirit is the great revealer of truth, and he'll reveal to us what's going on at the throne, what the Father wants to say to us. But see, we get so caught up into our personal needs that we don't go beyond our need. When God's saying, you take care of kingdom business, I'll take care of your business. You give me 30 minutes today, and you don't try to figure out what you're praying about, and you just say, Father, here I am. Whatever you deem the most important, Holy Spirit, I'm here to pray it out. And then you act in faith. Step over. And you put your heart into the prayer session. Are you with me? You just watch what God will do. Uh-huh. Well, glory, 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 glory. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, oh my, there's so much that you want us to share and say. I know we're limited in time, but Father, I know that there is so much that you want to do in this conference. And Father, we want to make sure that we nail everything that you desire. Yeah. It's been done tonight. I really feel in my heart it has been, Father. Yeah. Stir it up. Stir up that hunger is what you've been doing. Okay. Yeah. Well, Father, we just thank you that we're going to be obedient to what you say. And we're going to pray out your plan and your purposes tomorrow. We're going to go after it with all of our heart. And whatever you want us to speak, say, and do, we're here to do. We're here to undergird the pastors of this awesome church. We're here to undergird the vision, the mandate. And we're here to undergird what you desire done in the Houston area. Father, in the lives of every believer, every church member. Oh, God. Hunger, hunger, hunger. So, Father, I pray for every person in the house right now and everyone that's watching maybe by the internet. But, Father, I thank you that every single one of us have been stirred, that the unseen realm is a real realm, and that you have the Holy Spirit that you've placed within each of us to pray from a place of faith and to pray out your will in the earth. And that we can do this because we know the Holy Spirit. He lives within us as believers, and we speak that we know him by faith, even when our flesh feels otherwise, and we pray from a place of faith, and as we do, understanding, enlightenment, and revelation overwhelms us. And Father, I thank you that as we pray your word, revelation comes. And Father, I thank you that every need is met. I believe that every person that came tonight received tonight what they needed when they raised their hands. Ha ha ha! It happened. Oh, glory, where the supernatural is natural to us. It's natural. And the supernatural has happened tonight in this place, and it's very natural. Oh, it's a way of life to us as believers. And Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are always in us, always for us, always revealing unto us the heart that you have for us in life. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to do tomorrow. I'm excited about what you're doing tomorrow. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody shouts, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.